This is Film Center, your number one show for real entertainment industry news. No fluff, all facts. Now, here are your anchors, Derek Johnson II and Nicholas Killian.
Hey, welcome to Film Center. My name is Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we're here with a very special guest. You mind introducing yourself?
My name is Esther Pidal.
How are you doing today, Esther?
Oh, I'm doing well.
Awesome. As you guys know, we take the show on the road. Today, we're here at our office in Westlake.
Yeah, Westlake Village.
Well, yes. Esther, tell me a little bit about yourself. Where are you from originally?
Oh, interestingly enough, I didn't grow up far from here. Actually, I was born in Hollywood.
Oh,
I'm a true destiny.
Yes. That's called destiny right there.
My parents immigrated to California, to Los Angeles in the early 70s. Yeah. So
from where?
From El Salvador.
Nice.
El Salvador, yeah. And they met each other and fell in love, had two kids, me and my brother.
They met each other here, or they met each other in El Salvador?
They met each other here, but they're from the same city. If you would say, yeah, wow. If two people are from Santa Clarita, but then they immigrated to France or something like that.
Wow. That's a match made in heaven,
I
guess.
That's a very big coincidence.
Yeah.
Very. It was interesting enough. My dad knew a lot of my mom's cousins and family.
What?
Yeah.
Sounds like your dad was stalking your mom.
That's yeah. crazy.
That's like saying, oh, hey, let me introduce your parents to your significant other. And they're like, oh, I know this guy. What's up? How you doing?
Yeah, it was really interesting because everybody knows their last names. So Benitez and Ayala. So, it was a small town. So then
you grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up here. I lived in Santa Monica from 0 to 5. And then I moved to Agora Hills.
I was
in first grade. Yeah.
Oh, so a true Cali native.
Definitely. But my first language was Spanish, though my mom does not like to speak English.
She knows English.
She does.
But she doesn't like to speak it.
Yeah.
It's her native language.
Yeah. So she came here when she was 22. Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up speaking Spanish the first 5 years. I don't know how I learned English, but my mom says through the television.
Figuring it out.
You learned English through TV?
Yep.
Is that what inspired you to become... Starting acting?
Oh, no. My career started as a dancer. I was a dance major.
Oh, let's back up. Okay, wait a minute.
Let's back Hold it up, up then.
So you originally went to college for dancing.
Yes.
I was a dancer myself. Which form of dancing were you styling?
It was called modern dance. Now I believe it's called lyrical. So it's Martha Graham, Twyla Tharp.
I'll be honest. I'm a little envious. You guys are so smart and like interesting with those types of dances. I was a break dancer.
Oh, yeah.
For us, we're like, all right, is it fast and does it look cool? All right, that's it. That's all. that's all I care about.
Yeah.
There's so much thought that goes into.
Oh, definitely. Alvin Ailey's. We all aspire out to be like to work for Alvin Ailey kind of thing. Yeah. So
what made you want to originally go in for dancing? You've just been more dancing your whole life?
Yeah. It's something that I've always been a performer since I was a little girl. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. I just never... My parents didn't know anything about the acting or theater world. I think if they had or if I had known, mm-hmm. I probably would have gotten involved a little bit more. But, no, it was much more dance. It was much more in that.
And your parents were very supportive of your dancing?
No. What did they want you to do?
They wanted me to be a nurse or a doctor.
So we have an interesting track record on the show, which we get a lot when people say, oh, their parents don't want them to do exactly what they ended up doing. What for you was like, oh, when did you tell them, like, okay, I'm going for dancing?
What was the conversation like telling your parents, hey, I'm not going to do what you want, I'm going to do what I want?
I ended up doing what they wanted.
Oh, really?
I did, because my dad's, you're a dime in a bucket. Your feet are going to turn all ugly. He goes, what are your ambitions, Esther? He goes, do you want to own a ballet studio?
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up switching my major in the middle of college.
Oh, but you originally went for dancing.
Yeah, I switched. But I loved it. Something's still so much part of me. So I ended up becoming a Spanish major out of all things, and then I got my teaching credential.
Oh man, that must be so awesome! Because when that's your native language, man.
You graduated college and you became a Spanish teacher. Is that what you're saying?
No, I actually in those days we had bilingual education here in the state of California. It doesn't exist anymore, but they were handing keys to people.
Yeah.
If you could speak English and Spanish,
they were like, "Oh, great, yo."
I was going to night school to get my credential, and I was teaching third grade in Spanish here in Canoga Park.
Third grade in Spanish.
We used to live in Canoga Park.
Yeah, that's actually me and Nicholas were roommates first in Canoga Park before we moved to where we live now. And speaking of Canoga Park, real quick, this is not a plug. We are not affiliated with these people, but right. I got to shout them out. You ever been to Bowl and Burger over there?
No.
Oh.
Absolutely incredible.
My goodness. Bowl and Burger? I just saying it makes me hungry.
Yeah.
It's this like fusion between Asian food and Hispanic food.
Wow.
And they actually do it right. It's crazy. They have like, these teriyaki burritos. Awesome.
Teriyaki burritos.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's great.
And then so you graduated college. Where did you go to college?
UCLA.
UCLA.
Mm-hmm. UCLA.
So you graduated from UCLA, and where did you go from there?
Then I went, I literally graduated in June. I got married in August.
Where did you meet your husband?
At a church picnic.
Oh, that's it. Nice. That is awesome. Yeah. That's humble. Like very humble beginnings.
How long did you stay?
Let me ask you something. Did he pick up most of the chairs by himself? Was that what? You know, all the folding chairs. He got eight of them.
We were playing volleyball against each other. He had just immigrated to this country because he's from Argentina.
Oh, also a Spanish speaker.
Yeah, yeah. He was born and raised there, so he came here at that time in life. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So then where did you pick up the acting bug then? Did it come from your love of dancing?
So then we have to fast forward.
Oh, now we're fast forwarding.
We have to fast forward.
Okay. How many years?
Let's just say enough.
Just enough. Yeah. Enough. I had three children. So it all started with, it's tough because you get married, I worked a little bit as a teacher, and then.
And you have kids, and you have like a whole life.
I had three boys, literally 2 years apart. But like anything, I'm just a creative person. I have always been since I was a little girl, just on the shelf to put on a role of being a mom, a wife, and raising my three boys. And so they all play soccer. So we're a huge soccer.
Yeah. Who's your team?
For what?
For football.
Soccer. Football. Soccer. Oh my gosh. Argentina, por supuesto. Right?
Yeah.
My husband, you can't get away from that, from Messi, right?
Yeah.
My husband is Rosarino. He is from Rosario.
Oh, Messi's so good. Yes. Yeah, oh my God.
And they were born in the same hospital.
Really?
Yes. Who? Messi and my husband.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I always ask.
Did you guys like the movie?
Related to him, he goes, no, not really.
He just got paid like $1 billion by Saudi.
They want him over in Saudi. Or
they
something like
want
that.
Him over.
Whether he does it or not.
Oh, he hasn't. To be seen. He hasn't decided.
No, he's at Miami right now.
Yeah.
He is under Beckham, David Beckham.
He's Did you ever think that because have you been to Argentina?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
So you went with like your husband and your boys to visit
town? We went when we first got married many years ago, and then we just went in 2019 right before COVID.
Lucky break, guys. 2020. Yeah. Lucky break. Yeah. Hindsight, I hate even saying this, hindsight is 2020, because like that's the year. But at the same time, did you, because your family's also from South America, did you spend that time also going over there, possibly?
They're from El Salvador.
Well, they're from El Salvador. Yeah, they're Central America.
Growing up, I did go, but once the Civil War happened, we stopped going.
Oh,
Since the Civil War really took a toll on El Salvador. But it's changed now, and I do want to go because we have a new president, and
he's cracking down on those people down there.
Yeah, I saw that in the news. His approval rating's like through the roof.
Yeah, Bukele, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the venture into acting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So we have to go.
Sorry,
back.
we go on tangents.
We talked about Messi. We're like, let's talk about Messi. Right? No, so we played soccer, and there was one of the parents on the team is Nolan North. And I remember he would always make these crazy, like, voices. Mm-hmm. And I remember, and then I found out he's a very well-known voiceover actor.
Yeah.
And very well-known. And his son and my son, Lucas, play together. And so anyways, we just started talking. And then I'm like, wow, you know, they'll be really interesting. I just thought myself, maybe I should do voiceover work, like do audiobooks, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up going... I asked him for a reference to take a class. I went to a class, a voiceover class, and then lo and behold, I took the voiceover class, and I figured out the ones that were doing well were actors. They were trained actors.
Yeah.
So it led to one thing. I'm like, oh, I told my husband, you know what? I really should take acting classes if I really want to get better at voiceovers. And that's how I started.
How did your husband feel about you becoming an actor?
He thought I was having some... crisis or something.
He thought it was like a...
At least at first, he thought it was just something...
Did he think it just came out of the blue or something?
Yeah. Even to this day, a lot of things have been coming into play, but just because I've been doing it for 9 years now. 9 years, consistently. 9 years, like doing the work.
It's awesome.
But training.
A lot of people don't realize how much time and effort it takes to really... bring out a really great performance.
Oh, definitely. It's like all good acting teachers, you're an instrument.
Right.
And if you, one of the acting teachers, he says, you cannot just say, oh, I want to be a concerto pianist.
Mm.
That doesn't happen overnight. You need to train. You need to do.
You might be one of those lucky people.
You might be one of those lucky people that, you know, whatever, but 99% of us.
Oh, 99.9% of them.
We have to work.
Yeah.
We have to prepare.
The lead from Royal Paint was in the same situation. So he was like a stay-at-home dad.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, let me try it. Let me act and let me do this. And yeah, I don't know the complete story, but it was similar to your situation where he was like doing the family thing and then... lo and behold, he was one of the lucky ones to...
Yeah, it was interesting. I was, when I started acting school, I thought this is so different, but I loved it. Mm. I love that creative process that just attracted me. I mean, I couldn't go back to dancing, you know, after 25, your body's done. You just can't do that.
Yeah, it's funny. I used to be a pro break dancer. That was like, oh, cool, show me something. I'm like, I'm not that young. Are you insane? Also, no, my knees don't work like they used to.
Exactly.
My elbows don't work like they used to, right?
Exactly, I used to do split leaps across the room and fly across the room. I'm like, you can do that when you're young,
I remember when I was talking to my dad.
Game.
Yeah, I remember I was talking to my dad when I was a pro break dancer, and he was like, it's good you, because I was like 19. I was like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. So he was like, it's good that you're doing this now, because once you hit like your mid-20s, like, that's it. And I was like, what do you mean that's it? He's like, oh, your knees will just decide, like, hey, you know what? It's time. And it's funny because I actually fractured my wrist a whole bunch doing hand hops, like whatever, break dancing. Mm-hmm. You're going to break something.
Oh, I know. But I mean, I have a really good friend and she's 31 and she's in a show in Vegas and she still can move and dance. I know some people can push it.
That
to
takes
certain,
training, though.
They can push their body that way, but she pays dearly for it sometimes.
It takes training to do all that kind of thing. So just like you said then with acting, it takes then training to put in those hours and put in that work.
Yes.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to bring different characters to life. Do you ever find yourself taking a character home with you?
That is something that I did a couple of years ago, and I think lately I'm learning how to turn it on and off like a faucet.
Mm.
And how did you find out how to do that?
It takes time and a little bit of knowing yourself and being generous with it, but... being able, it's like anything, it's you have to put a gear on. You put gloves on, mm-hmm. you're ready to go do whatever it is that you need to do, and then you take them off and you reset. Because I think you have to, everybody has a different process.
Mm-hmm.
I can't because I've seen it seep through and then it just switches and the boys were like, what is up with you, Mom?
I was just about
to. You know, and that happened to me like I was... working on like a play and stuff, and she's more like came from a drug background and things like that. So it just, I was very edgy, and it seeped through when I was with my boys. And like, you have to. And then my husband's like, okay, that's acting. That's not you, Esther. And I go, yeah, I got it. Go back and just really, but it does take, it's a muscle, because it's also when we're demanded to do very difficult things, like high stake things where it's emotionally charged or something beyond any kind of circumstance that I would ever be in real life. You know what I mean? It does permeate through the day. Like physically, my body's like exhausted.
It's almost like you were dancing.
Yes.
Emotionally.
Yeah, emotionally exhausting. Like, it just, it's exhausting. It's exhausting. It's like, it's like anything. If you've ever had anything traumatic happen in your life, and you cry for half an hour, there's remnants of that after you've done your weeping and your anguish and your screaming or whatever. There's remnants of that. And people will say, are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm fine.
just
you know, part. You know what I mean. You
what just, do your what do your kids think about you acting?
Oh, it's so funny. So my older son, he I remember we with manager Carla Alexander, who's kudos to her. She signed me first, and that's another story how I found her. But the point being, I remember Nico goes, yeah, I asked Carla whether you were good or not.
Did your son Nico?
Yeah, my son. He's, is she any good or and. It was just one of those things, like, I love how I see her growth. They love it. They love seeing me on TV now. Like, they think it's hysterical.
That is pretty cool. Yeah. I'm not going to lie. If I saw my mom on TV, you'd be like, yeah, that's my mom. She's on TV.
Yeah, especially if it's like a show that's really, like, big and stuff. They're like, oh, there she is.
So, do you have any specific instances where that was the case? Where they were like, oh, mom, I didn't know you were on that show.
Oh,
dude, because I'm sure they don't even know, like, they're sure they don't know everything you audition for.
They don't.
Yeah, because as an actor, you audition for a lot of things.
Yeah. Before the pandemic, a lot happened, the strikes, and then boom, everything shut down, and now it's revamping all up again.
Thank God. Those strikes last year were pretty intense.
It was intense.
It was pretty rough. We were out there picketing.
Yeah, in front of Disney.
We were sitting there, you know, all up in the cars' faces while they were pulling out.
You know what? Let me ask Esther here if this is, because you're an actress. So imagine that you just leave the year on set, the strike is going on, and, you know, with the way, especially when it first started, which is the WGA before SAG joined in, right? Mm-hmm. And so if there's a show currently happening, you just have to finish out the show on contract and then you just leave, right? If you're an actor, before SAG joined, it was just WGA at first.
Yeah.
So imagine you're leaving, you're like, this strike is going on, but I'm supporting the strike. And then some guy with the picket sign is like, during the going, that's this guy.
The thing was,
he scared like 30 people. Was so funny.
I was like upset because when we got there, everybody was just standing around, just talking to each other.
They were actually under the awning in, like, their chairs.
And I was like, I thought we were supporting the writers. I thought we were striking. And they were all just chilling around, just hanging out. Just, oh, look, there's a car right there. And I was like, I thought we were upset.
So Nicholas and me, we're from the South, which people can be very emotional. So I'm sorry, I didn't even like, don't you think that would scare you though? You're supposed to come up to the car. You're supposed to just watch them on the side.
And I was just like, hey, what's up? And I was like,
imagine you're leaving set, some guy just comes to your window. You can be like, hey, what's wrong with you?
But this is how upset we were, right? We're upset, right? What are we doing? Just being like, oh, yeah.
There was someone in a rocking chair. And I was like, and he was like, my age. He was like, I know he was younger than me. He was like in early 20s. I was like, bro, at least save it for someone who like needs it. We're just chilling over here.
Because I went up to somebody. I was like, hey, are you upset? I'm so upset, man. Do you know where the water and the food is around here? I was like, we're not here for water and food, man.
The Scooby-Doo treats were, though, the Scooby-Doo snacks were definitely on point.
My husband was laughing.
when I, he's, that's your strike, Esther, because of all the goodies. I'm like, no, these, okay, the goodies come from people who are supporting us.
They're like
us.
Donating it. Yeah.
He goes, this is, because he comes from a country where so much has happened and mm-hmm. strikes have happened. He goes, this is red carpet-y.
Yeah. Well, it's the same way I feel about tailgating. When you go tailgating out mm-hmm. here for mm-hmm. college football and you're like, this is what you guys call tailgating?
It's like a religion down south. They're like, we're not going to get into that. We're
I knew. My cousin lives in North Carolina, and she married. It's very
it's
uncanny.
Life. Yeah.
How I see.
It's a lifestyle.
It is. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. That's what it is.
If you want to be friends in the south.
You have to watch college football.
Not only that, but my dad was like, just get a pickup truck and go to one football game. You don't need to go to a whole bunch of them. You have a pickup truck. Mm-hmm. You go to one football game where they can put the cooler or the grill in the back of your truck. Mm-hmm. You drive over there. You're the hero for like the next 10 years. They're like, oh, dude, remember that one time? You had a pickup truck. Yeah.
And
so
you just go hop from tailgate to tailgate. You make all friends.
So since you grew up here in California, like in the Hollywood area and stuff like mm-hmm. that, and then I think it's interesting that your husband's like, oh, hell. You want to act? That's weird. And so I thought a lot of people who come on the show, they have quote-unquote always wanted to do those type of things. But then you're similar towards, actually, I guess someone like myself where I was like, oh, this wasn't what I originally thought I would be doing. And so now that you're on this path, do you possibly see yourself encouraging some of your family to do it too? Or what is your other relatives saying?
No, they're all STEM majors. They're my husband's an engineer.
So you're like the
The other one's computer science engineer. The other two are bioengineering.
Yeah, but at least you get the flex. You're like, I'm an actress.
But, it was a thing for me. You know what I mean? It's something that's always been in me, but has somehow been maybe suppressed.
Like dormant or something?
No, suppressed.
Suppressed,
Suppressed. Not because I put it dormant, because my life or my outside circumstances
required
to put it, like, this is not something, even to the point, not something that you should even think about or do. So it was beautiful to have my husband, like, support me. And then it comes to a point, I think, with any relationship, it's like, how long is this going to go for?
Are you doing it for real or is it for play?
Yeah. But he, the other day, there was something like, look at mommy. Do you see how she goes 100% with all those no's, but she's still doing it?
It's a point of inspiration.
Yeah. And then when you book something big, it just, or something happens, you're like, oh, okay. Just valid, like, I'm still on the path. It's like trying to climb Mount Everest.
Do you keep that motivation going?
Because I love the craft.
It's just a true love of the craft.
I love the craft. I just love the craft. And I love learning more about myself through this thing.
They say that the more actors play other people, the more they learn about themselves. Would you say that's true?
Yeah. I think you have to face some things that you don't want to, then you have to bring them out in a performance.
The saying goes that actors ask questions that nobody wants to know the answers to. Do you think in your experience in acting has made you become a better person? Made you work through things?
A better person? I've always had empathy and generosity and compassion towards people.
Of course, yeah.
It's just me kind of thing.
I guess what I meant to say was, do you understand yourself more now with acting than before?
Yes.
Are there any specific instances where you're like, wow, this, you had like breakthroughs?
Oh, yeah. For example, that privacy, something that is work, that having your own privacy become public, and that's showing vulnerability. And we put on a facade so much, and it's those kind of moments when that somehow seeps through the character, and it's there. It's almost like when you do that, you're not just saying the lines, you're having an experience.
So for other people who might want to change in getting to acting. What do you have any advice for those people where they don't know how to get started or training? Like for me personally, when people ask me about how, like, because I do a lot of writing, right? But I use an Excel sheet to study scripts, and other people don't do that.
Oh, yeah. That's, so, but that's your sciencey brain. Yeah, that's that works.
The science part of my brain. Yeah. I'm always like, okay, how many people are in the scene? Okay, how many lines do they have? Okay, that's then really it's then. Mm-hmm. What is their emotional change? Okay, how does that affect the rest of the script? I have like pluses and like minuses and stuff like that.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. So when,
because that's a visual thing. That's yeah, a very visual thing.
I have to see the numbers for yeah, me personally for
yeah,
me to
you
get
can
it.
Even graph that.
Yeah.
Graph it. That's like, very fascinating.
Yeah. So yeah. When it comes to acting, do you have any advice on training?
Oh, train.
And is it just train by doing?
No, it's like going to the gym.
You gotta learn the basics.
Yeah, don't go to the gym to watch people work out.
Right.
Go to the gym and work out. It's... And you have, I think there's so many schools and different kinds of things. And I think you just have to find the right fit. Just like you have to find the right coach. If you were a pro athlete, find somebody that pushes you, but works with you, but is encouraging and hard at the same time, you know. Mm. There's no right way. But yeah, I would encourage anybody to begin at a school, wherever that may be. And if you don't, then do theater. Mm-hmm. Right now, there's so many Zoom online classes. Beautiful, wonderful online classes. You can start acting. The world has changed. I'm like, when I even 9 years ago when I started, I'm like, there's no such thing as taking acting class via Zoom.
I would have never thought of that. Like, yeah. For fair, I didn't know what Zoom was until 2020.
Exactly.
I knew
same
Skype.
Here.
Everyone
here.
Knew Skype. And I was yeah. like, Skype, did it go away? Was Skype eaten
yeah,
by
Zoom?
Yeah,
I don't know what happened, why Skype didn't become the dominant thing in Zoom.
And you know, the only thing I have in my mind, I'm like, it's probably because Zoom probably pitched to the education center, schools and stuff mm-hmm. like that. And then once people doing it in schools, it's just going to go everywhere. Yeah. But it's been such great having you on the show. It's been really great.
Thank you.
Yeah. Is there anywhere people can follow you?
Oh, yeah. On my Instagram. Yeah, my Instagram. It's Etty, E-T-T-Y, Pilar, at, I don't know. It's, yeah, my handle. It's, yeah. It's at Etty Pilar. Yeah.
Dope. It's great having you on the show. Guys, this has been Film Center News. My name is Derek Johnson II.
I'm Nicholas Killian.
And we're here with the great
Esther Padal.
And we'll see you next time.
See you.
This has been Film Center on Comic-Con Radio. Check out our previous episodes at ComicConRadio.com. You can follow the show at Film Center News on all major social media platforms.